Morning.
We're reading from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 13, to chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. It's in page 802 in the Black Bible. And it's also on the service sheet. Let's go. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You said, it is vain to serve God. What's the profit of our keeping his church or walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day that I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and one who does not serve him. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for there will be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction.
Thank you, Emma, for reading. May I add to Andrew's welcome? It's great to have you here this morning at Grace Church Greenwich. If we've not met before, my name is Samuel. I look after students and young adults here at the service. And especially warm welcome to you if this is one of your first times with us on a Sunday, or maybe one of your first times at a church at all. It's really great to have you here this morning. As a church, we like to work through books of the Bible section by section. Throughout the month of August, you may have been away for holiday. We've been working through the book of Malachi section by section, and we've come to the end of Malachi today. Please keep the passage open in the Black Church Bibles or in the service sheet that you've been given as you come in. You can also find on the service sheet an outline of where we're going to be going this morning. We're going to be starting this morning thinking about wastes of time. And I think I can say for all of us here, I don't know everyone here, not met all of us, but I think I can say for all of us that we don't want to waste our time. There are only so many hours in a day, or so many years that we'll live in London, or so many years that we'll live at all. And so we don't want to waste the time that we have. And so to take a few examples, we don't want to drive a long journey in our car and find out after 3 hours of driving that we turned up in the wrong place. Or we don't want to study a degree or apprenticeship, put years into studying that doesn't open future doors for us. We wouldn't want to go weeks of tiring medical treatment for it to do nothing. Why? Because we don't want to waste our time. Our question for us that we're thinking about this morning, you can find it on the top of the service sheet. Is serving God a waste of time? Is serving God a waste of time? Obeying God when it's costly, seeking to make Jesus known, serving him at church or midweek serving the body, is this a waste of time? Would there be better uses for our days in London and the days for our life than doing this? Now, there may be some of us here this morning, we wouldn't say that we're a Christian, we're not a follower of Jesus, and we may think there may or may not be a higher power out there, but we think that serving God is a waste of time. If that's us this morning, can I say that you're really welcome here this morning? Grace Church is a church that loves to welcome skeptics, inquirers, and believers. But we may be here this morning and we may say that we're a Christian, we follow Jesus, our life is about serving God, and yet we still get doubts. To think of some examples, maybe we get up early on a Sunday morning to do setup for church, or we're downstairs doing the creche and the Sunday school, and we look on our social media and see friends who don't follow Jesus, who seem to be having a really relaxing, really enjoyable Sunday morning on Facebook or Instagram. And whilst we have a baby in our arms or we're here serving, we might wonder, is this a waste of time? Maybe we're not as high up in our job as we could be because we leave early some evenings to serve church or to go to small group Bible studies. Maybe we try to do family Bible time, but it can be a bit of a mess. Maybe we pray to God and seek to make Jesus known and see no fruit. Maybe we try and battle sin for year upon year, and it seems to be bearing no fruit. And we wonder, is this a waste of time? Would there be a better use for the years I have in London, the years that I have alive? Is this a waste of time? As I've said, we're at the end of Malachi today. And in our passage today, a lot of Malachi's audience think that serving God is a waste of time. So I'd encourage us to look at verse 14. We hear from God's people, "You have said that it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape." What Malachi's audience is saying here is that serving God is miserable. It's like walking around in funeral clothes 24/7, walking around in mourning. And this miserable serving God, Malachi's audience is saying, is pointless. It doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't get you better off. The people who don't serve God, they prosper. They seem to be rich and happy. What difference does it make? Is there any point in this serving of God? Well, God says to his people in Malachi's day and says to us today that serving him is not a waste of our lives. We've got 2 points for us today. God sees and God spares. We get a picture in our passage of the present and the future. And God shows that he sees those in the present who serve him, and he will spare in the future day of judgment those who serve him. And my prayer is that God, through his word, would encourage us that serving him isn't a waste of our time, but to be in his service is the best use of our time there could be. So our first point this morning, is serving God a waste of time? No, for God sees those who serve him. We've been working through Malachi in the month of August. And if you've been here in London over the summer and coming along to Grace Church, we've seen a pattern come again and again in Malachi. God speaks, his people argue back, and then God graciously elaborates. And we see this pattern at the beginning of our passage today, verses 13 to 15. God says that his people's words have been hard against him. His people say, how? How have they been hard? And then God graciously explains, as he's done throughout Malachi, they've said that it's vain to serve God. But in verse 16 of our passage, something different happens. We're going to be spending a lot of our time this morning in verse 16. Did you spot the difference in verse 16? Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. God's word has an impact. As Malachi stands in front of God's people with his message from God, And he's shown the people's unfaithfulness in their tithing and their marriages and their offerings. Some people in the crowd, not all of them, but some people hear what God is saying. And they go, oh yeah, I have turned away from God. And these people, rather than scoffing God, as they have been, they begin to fear him. They go from walking away from God, rejecting him, to turning back to him, to encouraging one another to fear God, to serve him. God's word has made an impact. Now, is their fearing of God a waste of time? Well, let's carry on reading verse 16. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. We see here that serving God is not a waste of time. God sees those who serve him. He pays attention to them. He hears those who serve him. And he writes it down. Now, this picture of a book of remembrance, it's a picture used throughout the Bible. And what this picture is saying is that God remembers those who serve him for all eternity. If I think about myself, I can often forget the good deeds that other people have done to me. Or we as countries can make statues or monuments to try and remember the brave deeds of heroes, but these can go unread or they can get knocked down or vandalized. But for those who serve God, their names are written in his book. They're remembered by him forever. And so we get verse 17. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. It's not a waste of time. God sees those who serve him. It's important for us to grasp this as we try on walking our Christian walk and keep on serving God, because if we don't believe that God sees us serving him, then we'll be very tempted to think that it's a waste of time. Now, I really enjoy the animated film Despicable Me. Maybe some of us here this morning are a fan. And Despicable Me is about this grown-up man called Gru. But there's a scene which I love, which flashes back to Gru's childhood. Gru's a child in front of his mom, and he keeps trying to get his mom's attention and her love. Gru draws a colorful picture of a rocket. He goes, look, mom, look. And his mom doesn't care. Gru makes a statue of a rocket. He goes, mom, look at this rocket I've made. His mom doesn't care. Gru actually, quite impressively for a child in the film, actually builds a rocket and it takes off in his back garden. He goes, look, mom, look at this rocket. His mom doesn't care again. Now, if you've watched the film, it's actually quite a sad and funny scene at the same time. But the point is that Gru, he's very downcast. He's very discouraged because his mom doesn't care, doesn't see what he does. And if we go back to our serving God, as trying to tell others about Jesus or trying to do family Bible time or trying to serve him, it can sometimes feel like a waste of time, seem that no one's watching. And so we really need to grasp, to take to heart verse 16. That out of a universe with countless galaxies and stars, in our world with rainforests and oceans, out of London with so much going on, what God loves, what God pays attention to, are his people serving him, trying their best, stumbling in family Bible time, or trying to tell us about Jesus, trying to fight sin. God loves this. It's like a picture of him sitting in the throne room of heaven. He says to one of his angels, I love that. Write that down in my book of remembrance. It's not a waste of time to serve him. God sees those who serve him. And because we often feel like serving him can be a waste of time, we all have a role to play in encouraging each other. We all have a role to play in spurring one another on to keep serving God. I find it very interesting in 3:16. Did you notice that those who feared the Lord, they spoke with one another? And this is a pattern that we see throughout the Bible. If you were in our Hebrews grace groups last year, we saw that we were to exhort one another daily. In Ephesians, we're to speak the truth in love. Believers are to encourage each other to keep serving God, to keep spurring one another on. We can imagine if the Christian walk was alone or without people spurring one another on, it would be a very lonely, difficult walk. But we all have a role to play. At grace groups, at time after church and the coffee, at meals with each other, we all have a role to encourage each other, to remind each other of these truths. It's not a waste of time. God sees those who serve him. So our opening question, is serving God a waste of time? We've thought about God sees those who serve him. We've thought about the present. And our second point, serving God isn't a waste of time, for he will spare those who serve him. What we see in Malachi and the rest of the Bible is that the Christian life isn't just about the here and now, isn't just about the present, but it's about future realities. And whilst it may seem to be a waste of time sometimes now to serve God, we might not be any wealthier or healthier or happier. We could look at a group of people and struggle to pick out amongst them who's the one who serves God and who's the one who doesn't. We see here in Malachi that there is a day coming when it really will make a difference whether we serve God or not. God spares those who serve him. So if we go back to the passage in verse 17, God promises to those who serve him in the present that they'll be spared from future judgment. And then we get 4 verse 1, a picture of this future coming judgment that God's people are rescued from. Let's read 4 verse 1 again. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave neither root nor branch. I don't know how we find the language here of 4 verse 1. Maybe shocking, maybe uncomfortable to read this language of burning like an oven, of no root or branches left, of ashes. These fiery pictures in Malachi for God's judgment are used throughout the Bible. Jesus, the most loving man of all history, spoke of judgment more than anyone else. Whilst this language may appear shocking, what we need to grasp in Malachi is that God has revealed himself before this point in Malachi. God has revealed himself to be one who has loved his people, one who is gracious, one who is never changing, one who longs to bless his people. He's revealed himself to be their father, to be their king, to be their judge, to be the great commander of the heavenly armies. Last week, if we were here, we had a wonderful promise of the Lord. He said, if they return to him, he'll return to them. And so to reject him, to turn away from him, to live in rebellion against this God comes with consequences, a future judgment. But that isn't the only fate that we see on this future day. Another fire comes, but it's not a fire that destroys, but a fire that brings healing. 4 verse 2, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wing. When this sun rises, when this day dawns, a day of liberation comes. Now, as Emma read the passage earlier, we might have been a bit uncomfortable with the language of 4 verse 3. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet. But this is language of liberation, a picture we've lived under a tyrannical regime. Maybe some of us here don't need to imagine it. We know the pain of living under a dictatorship. And there's a day when the dictator falls, and the statues that were standing so high come crumbling down, and it's just left with dushes, people rejoicing over the ash heap. Liberation has come. The tyranny is over. That is the picture here on this day, a day of liberation for God's people. Is serving God a waste of time? Well, the future for God's people isn't a dirt heap, isn't a waste of time, but real solid joy. End of 4, verse 2. I love this image. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. I grew up in a rural village, and in the middle of my village, at the heart of the village, was a cow shed. Quite exciting villages. You can gather that the heart of the village was the cow shed. And this cow shed absolutely stank for most of the year. It was really quite horrible. And most of the year, or a lot of the time, it was full with cows. The weather in Cumbria was too harsh for them to be out in the fields. They needed to stay in the cow shed for most of the year. Now, if we want to imagine, sat here this morning, that we're a cow in this shed, quite a sad existence. You're cramped in this damp room with everyone around you. It's dark. But then a day comes. You can actually watch this on YouTube. I'd recommend for you afterwards. You're let out of the shed. You're back on luscious green grass again. The blue skies are going overhead. Cows actually leap for joy. I'd recommend that you look for it afterwards. It's a day of joy. They're out of this captivity. They're on a day of freedom. This is a picture of the future for God's people. Serving him is not a waste of time. When the sun rises, when Jesus returns, on that day of healing, when there shall be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more tears, no more pain, no more struggling with sin year upon year, God dwelling with his people, well, on that day, even the most battered down Christian with sin and suffering will leap with joy on that day. The songwriter Stuart Townsend put it like this: when suffering cease and sorrows die and every longing satisfied, then joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly home. It's not a waste of time. God gives us these pictures of the future for a purpose. So we'd know that serving him isn't a waste of time, and so that we would live lives of costly service to him. We get the ending of Malachi in verses 4-6. And if we've been here for our series in Malachi, we see that it wraps up a lot of the themes that we've seen throughout the book. So verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome of the day of the Lord comes. We saw in chapter 3, John the Baptist is on his way for the original audience, one coming in the spirit and power of Elijah. Before then, the Lord himself, Jesus, comes. The ending of verse 6, lest I come and strike the land with the decree of utter destruction, a threat of judgment throughout Malachi. It wraps up a lot of the ends. But then we get a final command from Malachi, right as he closes. Verse 4, remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. God has made it clear in these future pictures that serving him is not a waste of time, and so he wants his people to live in full service, in full obedience of him. Even when it's costly, we think about the original audience. They'd been unfaithful in their offerings and their marriages and their tithing. But God is gracious. He longs for them to turn back to him in full service of him, because he is worth it. It's not a waste of time. Whenever we do something costly, we need a picture of future hope. And if you take away that future hope, well, we're unlikely to do something costly. So to take quite a random example, if we think about the swimmer Michael Phelps, the Olympic gold medalist, he swam 13 kilometers a day, 6 or 7 days a week, at least 80,000 meters every week, even on birthdays, on weekends, on days that his family were doing stuff. This was on top of other training at the gym. It was a very costly schedule, a very exhausting schedule. Now, I don't know Michael Phelps personally, but I'm sure there were times that he wanted a little bit of a break to relax, to sleep in, to have a nice day on the couch. And if Michael didn't have this picture of the future, of these Olympic gold medals, then I'm sure he would have given up. It's not worth the big cost. It's not worth the big sacrifice. There's no future ahead of me. Let's just lie on the couch and eat chips. The future matters as we make costly decisions. Our opening question, is serving God a waste of time when it doesn't seem to make a difference? When we look around and the lives of friends who don't follow Jesus, they seem to have a maybe more fun time, a more relaxing time, whilst I'm here early on a Sunday morning or trying to kill sin in my life. Well, we need these pictures of the future for costly, full obedience. Those who reject Jesus as Lord may have a more relaxing Sunday morning and more money now, perhaps, but a life of rejecting God and ignoring him, well, it's heading to ashes, to nothing. That would be a waste of time. Whereas service of God, even though it may look silly, it may look pointless, it might look like we're wasting our years in London, this is leading to a real solid day of future joy, a joy that will never be shaken, never taken away. It is not a waste of our time. And so we close. Is serving God a waste of our time? The years I have in London, the years that I have alive, my weekends, what I do. Now, I want to encourage us as we close that serving him is not a waste of time. C.T. Studd, the famous cricketer and Christian, he said lines that kept coming to my mind as I looked at the passage this week. He says, only one life, which will soon be passed. Only what is done for God will last. God sees and he spares those who serve him. So let's serve him now with the time that we have. We're going to take a moment of quiet now before Michaela comes and prays for us. Maybe it will be a good time to reflect on the times when we can find it hard to serve God, when it's costly, when it's hard, and then think how we would apply these truths to our heart. God sees those who serve him. We're heading to a day when we will leap with joy like calves from the stall. A moment of silence, and then Michaela will come and pray for us.